This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.
Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing podcast. Today, we are talking to Jay Palter. He's the Chief Engagement Officer of jpalter.com. I'm sorry, jpalter.ca. And what he does is fascinating to me. We get a lot of people who want to be on the podcast. And when our team is vetting the guests, we really look for something that somebody in the financial services space is doing something fundamentally unique and different. And after I spent some time reading his blogs, really looking at the site and seeing what Jay had to offer, I was so excited about having him on because he talks about influencers. And as you are our ardent listeners, the people who listen to the podcast all the time, you know that we talk a lot about how important it is to engage, to influence, to attract all of our clients, right? Now, Jay's got a system surrounding this, and we're going to pick his brain on how it works, why it works, and how he came up with it. So, Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. I'm happy to be here chatting today.
Tell me where all of this came from. Tell me a little bit about your history, please.
Well, I have, in fact, been in technology for quite a number of years. I go back to the mid-1980s, so I have a long technology background. I was an advisor at one point, an insurance advisor, so I worked in the financial services space. And I came back to technology and social media in particular, and today I run an independent practice helping all kinds of businesses build their visibility and influence online.
Elaborate. Help us understand that you have created the Influence Navigator Plan. What does that mean?
So I take a different approach than a lot of marketers do, really. I frankly don't see social media and the social networks that we're all involved in today as marketing platforms, first and foremost. I see them as communication platforms, networking platforms. If you want to look at it in a business sense, you could call them public relations platforms. The fact of the matter is, everybody has a business network. And the business network, I mean, I would say in my own personal life that my business network, the people I know, the business relationships I have, are some of the most, if not the most important business assets that I own, that I have. Mm-hmm. That the ability to pick up my phone and call people and get their assistance, get their advice, get their guidance in all kinds of ways creates huge value for me, opportunities that all kinds of incredible opportunities. So my view is that social networks, digital social networks, are exactly the parallel of that. And most business people don't take advantage of their networks online to the extent that they might offline. And so I help people do that. I help people leverage their digital social relationships, grow them, find people that are going to help them, and then nurture those relationships to the point that just like any other offline network, you can get all kinds of huge value from this online network.
Do you ever get resistance from your clients about reach? Now, you work with a lot of larger B2B and financial services, so that would be larger companies, product companies, I'm assuming BDs, RIAs, larger companies. So everybody who's listening, we're really getting a great inside look into somebody who works with larger organizations and helping them create this track. But if somebody's specific, like a regional person, and they do hire you, is there a different technique that you use in order to hone that influence, those people in the network that are going to be good for their influencing?
Well, that is a very good question. And I think the first way to understand the answer to that is to think of social networks are not just places you go to find prospects for your services. And that's actually one of the most important things that I talk about and I help people do is it's really important to recognize that social networks are collections of all of our business relationships. And so oftentimes the most important people in our business networks are people who might be referring us clients, not in fact the client or prospects themselves. when you think of social networks that way, then a few things start to happen. That the people you're paying attention to, and I say you should be paying attention to influencers more than people might be, and we could talk about that in a few minutes, but the people you're paying attention to and really getting to know, in fact, aren't prospects for your business at all. They're people who are knowledgeable in the space. Maybe they already have audience and followers that pay attention to them. Their followers pay attention to them because they have credibility, because they have subject matter expertise, and they trust their recommendations. And so ultimately, you want to build relationships with these people. I mean, if you're an advisor, you think of them as the accountants and the lawyers and the other business advisors that might be referring their clients to you. Mm-hmm. So you're not, in fact, talking to their clients directly. You're talking to these folks, and you're building those relationships so that they feel that you're a good person to refer business to. And when you think of it that way, it no longer matters geographically. You could have, influencers and business relationships that are all over the country, and they know people that are in your community if you're doing, if you're in a business that is locally based in some way, which advisory is often face-to-face business, so there's some geographic limitation. But so the real, the thing we're really talking about here is that the influence group can in fact be very widespread. Their relationships are also widespread, so they may have people in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And you're not just talking about volume or numbers of people here. We're talking about quality of people who have certain kinds of relationships and have a trust-based relationship with their own network. And that's part of the equation.
When you're working with somebody, what questions do you ask them or have them think about to figure out who those influencers are in their area? Are there any kind of triggers that you use to say, oh, that's an influencer?
Well, we start, in fact, in the influencer space, we start by paying attention to a group of people that we can actually measure influence in a digital space. So we really focus on, we talk about influencers. I mean, there are lots of offline influencers that people have influence and authority, and they know a lot of people, and they're super connectors. Those are always valuable people to know in an offline way. And I don't really offer any special services in terms of offline influence. What I really offer people is an insight into a group of people online who have a lot of reach in their social networks. They have large communities of people following them. They have authority and respect. And so I can produce a lot of that information through digital analysis, social analytics tools of online activity, people's Twitter activity, their participation on LinkedIn, those kinds of things. And we can identify groups of people that have audience and followers and respect online. And then we typically, what we do is we supplement that with, we work with people in their own networks, and they also know people, they have insight. Everyone has knowledge and says, oh, so-and-so is very active on social media and they share interesting stuff and they influence me. And so we also complement, building our influence targets with people that we think influence us. And we ask our clients exactly those questions and look for topics that they're interested in and help find people and aggregate that into a strategic plan.
I have a lot of advisors who will say to me, Matt, I want to be that influencer. And then I will ask them a follow-up question. Well, who is an influencer that you really like? And I hear the same name over and over again, which is Gary Vee. How does somebody take what you know and implement it into their life or their practice digitally in order to maybe potentially someday become that influencer? Is that putting the cart before the horse? Do you need to network with the influencers before you become an influencer? How do you handle that, man?
That's a big question, and there are many, many answers to that question. I would start, I mean, I thought you were going to say someone like, Michael Kitsis in financial services space, because he's also remarkable in terms of, the work and the writing he does, the work he does, the knowledge he has and shares. The starting point to my answer would be to say, Gary Vee is a great example of a guy who he's out there, he shares his feelings, his ideas, his insight, produces lots of content, has a personality that he's harnessed to, I don't think you have to always have a big personality that way to be an influencer, but has harnessed his personality. I think the thing that I would say, if you want to become more of an influencer, there's a variety of things that I think you need to do, but I would start by saying you don't have to be a global influencer. You don't have to be a worldwide influencer. Mm-hmm. The beauty of influence is that it's a spectrum and it's a gradient, and you need to be influential relative to the people you're trying to influence.
That's a great way to say that. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with saying Gary Vee is an example. You don't need to be on the level of visibility and name recognition and all that kind of stuff as Gary Vee to participate in the influence economy and to benefit from building your own influence. And so if you start from that point, I think the things you need to think about doing is you really need to look at a community of people that in which you do business and say to yourself, this community, I'm going to serve this community. I am going to share my insight, share my ideas. I'm going to serve the community. And I would define the community, as we've talked about already, not just by those leads and prospects that you might consider being clients of yours, but the broader community of all the people that might be advising or influencing those prospects. So including those other advisors, those business advisors, including some other vendors that sell other services that are not related to yours, but are still important to your target market and client. If you see that as a community, as an ecosystem of services being provided to the same customer, and you serve all those folks, then you actually become an important part of this. I mean, you start to create some influence among this ecosystem in the community, and you can define it in many ways yourself. But I think the starting point really is serve the community in which you want to do business and build around you a community that will support your business. And sort of the business parts of it take care of itself after that.
Okay. On your website, it says less sharing, more content. People are sharing less on social media while content available for sharing has grown exponentially. Simply creating more awesome content won't solve your attention problem. Number one, what do we do about this? And why are people sharing so much less?
Well, I think it's a bit of the problem is that there's a lot of good stuff out there. I mean, if you go out looking today, for information, it's overwhelming. So I think there's an abundance of content that the content has grown faster. The concept of content marketing has grown and become very popular. Lots of people are investing in producing high quality content. And I'm not sure that the audience sharing that content has grown at the same rate. So that's what the data I'm looking at is saying. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a few ways that you can approach that. One of the ways, and that's one of the reasons I really focus on influencer engagement, is influencers, and particularly the way I measure them with social analytics and online sharing and activity, I mean, the way that they become influencers is because they move content through networks. And so one of the ways that you can get more visibility for yourself and for the content you're creating, whether it's an article you're writing or a video or a podcast, is to have work with those influencers and have them get to know who you are and have a vested interest in sharing your content. You essentially overcome some of the problems of having too much content and not enough sharers. You now have a reason why somebody sees your content more frequently because the influencer might be sharing it. And that raises the immediate question, which is how do you get an influencer to even pay attention to you and your content? And so the foundational thing that I help people do and that I encourage everybody to do is not just to write your thought leadership yourself. And that's an important thing to do if you want to be a thought leader. You have to articulate your view and share your insights. But one of the best things you can do is curate other people's content. So find content of all this amazing content that's out there, and there's a ton of it. Find content that you find engaging, that it may tell some of your story, it may complement your value proposition, it may add value to the world, as you see it. And it may, more importantly, serve the needs of the audience you're trying to attract. The audience you're trying to attract has a whole range of needs and interests. And if you share good quality content that meets more of their needs than just what it is that you're selling or what services you're offering, it really creates this opportunity for them to be more open to you and more willing to even hear your message when you do come to them with something you've written. So curation, it does so many things. It allows you to be visible often. I mean, if you're on Twitter and you're sharing actively on Twitter, you might be sharing 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 12 times a day. I probably share 12 things a day on Twitter. I'm not going to write that many things myself, but I'm going to find 12 awesome pieces of content that I think my audience is going to be interested in, and I'm going to share them. And many of those things are written by influencers who I want to get the attention of. And how do I do that? By sharing their content in my feed, by helping them get readership. I raise their awareness of me. And that's a huge strategy in social networks, is you promote others as a strategy for helping become visible yourself.
And that's a gold nugget. I mean, we could, I have a couple other questions, but we could really end the podcast on that. That is so insightful. That's so smart, Jay. Goodness gracious. If we could just get our advisors, our insurance agents, our the people who we have, our CPAs that are working with us, if they would just realize that sharing other people's content, those thought leaders, is as good, if not even better, for your long-term relationship and reputation online than just you putting out the same old tripe all the time is freaking brilliant, man. Thank you for that. That was awesome, dude. Seriously, that was freaking great.
Well, you know what? Some of these things are just they're so simple and so, but they make so much sense.
Yeah.
And social networks they're really not great platforms for self-promoting. You know, it becomes very easy to tire of someone always, the only time they share, you know, mm-hmm. You see this, there's always people like this. The only time they post to LinkedIn, the only time they share something is when they're promoting something they wrote on their blog.
Right.
And you say to yourself, really, is that, if you're interacting in the world in general, in any situation, is that the only thing you do? Especially if you think of social networks as networks, they're networking opportunities. Mm-hmm. So if you go to a networking event and the only thing you say to every person you meet is, here's my business card. You know, I wrote this article the other day. You'd really be interested in it. If that's all you did was talk about yourself, mm-hmm. you would have no benefit from going to a networking event because everybody would avoid you. They're not interested in hearing you talk about yourself all the time.
Absolutely.
And they're not interested online either.
Because it's social. I love how you said that. It really is that simple, Jay. But why are so many people just so oblivious to that, man? I guess I don't know.
Look, I mean, I think we've been. You know, I think marketers really grabbed social networks and social media, and in the first generation of what social media was, turned it into this super, you know, marketing platform. And I think for the social networks themselves, hey, for Facebook, for Twitter, for LinkedIn, there's all kinds of great opportunities for them to sell you services to buy access to this awesome network, right? To target it in very specific ways to do marketing. So I'm not saying that you don't go to social networks to market. Mm-hmm. You can and you should. And oftentimes those are paid strategies. You should be paying to, you know, put some content in front of people or target specific people, which you can do with such great detail in these social networks because there's so much information available compared to traditional advertising. But there's other activities that, you know, I mean, LinkedIn is a business network where business professionals connect with each other. And business professionals do a ton of things with each other that have nothing to do with marketing and nothing to do with selling other people in an explicit way. Although we all know that the networking activity can be very implicitly about selling and building those relationships and building awareness of you and what you offer. And we do all those things because the relationships themselves are so valuable to the way we do business, the way humans do business. People buy from other people. We do business with people we know, like, and trust. And so one of the best things and most overlooked things in social networking is this relationship building. And frankly, I mean, not very many people have figured out a way to turn it into a service. I mean, that's precisely what we do, is mm-hmm. we help people leverage their network, social network relationships, their online social network relationships, in a way that they're not doing. They're leaving value on the table, but they totally recognize the value of the network. I mean, there's nobody, I mean, you, I, nobody listening would not recognize how important it is who they know in their business network. Who can they call? You know, we need to hire someone, mm-hmm. you know, we need to go here or do that. Do you know this person? I need to make an approach to that person. We use our networks all the time for those things, and online social networks are just as valuable and hugely overlooked from a relationship building perspective.
Is there a ratio that you have found is the most successful ratio between self-promotion and other-centered promotion?
People always want to know what the magic number is.
I want to know the magic number, man, of course.
Yeah, no, I know. And I, you know, for guideline purposes, I, you know, generally, and this is an incredibly just a rough idea. I mean, I would share 9 things before I share 1 thing of mine.
Wow.
I would share 9 other things before.
Okay.
And I do that for, I mean, if you think of Twitter as an example,
right.
I do that because I want to say something 10 times a day.
Yeah.
And if there's no way I'd have 10 things to share, and there's no way that anybody would would care about me or pay any attention to me if I only shared 10 things I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yeah. It becomes very self-absorbed and very self-centered. And as much as everyone thinks social networks are for narcissists and about narcissism, you know, I think there's a limit to that. And certainly there's a limit to how much of that you want to do if you're using it as a business tool. So I would say, you know, 1 in 10 personal shares to again, sharing value with your community. And that's not necessarily value you've created. But there's huge benefit to you. Mm-hmm. I say this all the time this way. I'd say if I recommend you read a book and you go to the library, you buy that, you borrow that book or you buy the book and you read it and it's an awesome book. You come back to me, you thank me, you're very appreciative to me for drawing your attention to this book.
Yeah.
Now, all I did was become aware of the book, think of you, mm-hmm. think of the fact that you would love the book, and I mentioned it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't spend months, I didn't spend hundreds of hours or thousands of hours researching the book. I didn't write the book. I didn't do anything to produce the book. All I did was find it and share it with you. And yet you probably give me more credit for bringing it to your attention than the author for writing it.
Wow.
And the reality is that's exactly what happens when you share good content on a regular basis, is you are leveraging other people's value. You're adding value to the network you're in. And people have this huge appreciation and want to reciprocate to you because you're providing value to them and you're not asking for anything. And
mm-hmm.
It's a huge value. It's very interesting about the online economy that Gary Vee, to go back to an earlier part of the conversation, mm-hmm. totally understands and totally gets is you want to add value to people all the time. That's what attracts them to you.
Hmm. Sorry about putting you on the spot about that magic number, but I love that number. You know, you really could have said anything and I would have just, you know, eaten it because you know this stuff. This is your game. You know, you are not only the coach, but the expert in, you know, really helping people with this. I just, wow. Final thoughts or final question. Public relations, so hard PR from like a real PR company and paid advertising. How does that fit into your plan when you're talking about this influence navigator plan, or doesn't it?
Sorry, can you clarify?
Was kind of a...
You try reframe.
I can.
It.
So the question is, how often do you recommend public relations or regular type advertising in your influence navigator plan?
So I think today, in today's modern world, it's 2018, we're going to be at 2020 before you know it. I think modern public relations is precisely digital social networking, first and foremost, influencer outreach engagement. Modern public relations, I mean, there you can do media relations work today, and it's important to sometimes call up journalists and try and get stories on things you want to get in high volume publications. That's a specific area for sure, but media relations and public relations in general today is entirely digital and is moving into this online space with influencers. So I think it's an important part. The way I would frame it is that I think you need to have a strategy. You need to have a public relations strategy that probably has a bit of an offline component, but it has an online component you may not be paying attention to. You need to have a paid marketing strategy. You need to be thinking about where am I advertising? And largely the advertising business is moving online. So I don't have anything to say about offline advertising. There's probably still places where it makes sense to do it in certain businesses. But generally speaking, you need to have a paid marketing strategy as well, whether that's on Facebook, whether it's on LinkedIn. There's all kinds of opportunities to market on LinkedIn as well. The thing that most businesses have those things fairly well taken care of. What they often are missing is a comprehensive kind of earned media strategy, which is a strategy that's not about paying. It's about building thought leadership. It's about attracting people to your brand and engaging them in conversation. It's about sharing other people's content as a vehicle for doing that. It's about writing your own content and having that being distributed organically through this influencer network that you're growing. I think if you think of it that way, the influence work complements your paid media. It complements your formal traditional PR. And most organizations, most businesses are missing sort of that earned media piece as a systematic part of their overall strategy.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, Jay, I would love to have you back on the show. You've triggered so many things that we have to look at from what we're doing from an internal marketing standpoint at Top Advisor Marketing. I know that our listeners are going to gain great value from everything that you just said, and will hopefully start making the psychological paradigm shift that so many people need to make, which is, it's not all about me. I can be the curator, I can be the deliverer of other people's information so that you still want to be engaged with me, but I don't have to be the person who's coming up with it all the time. And I love that you were just talking about, you know, when you share, right, you're sharing so much of other people's stuff from influencers who you know you're going to bring value to your followers and to your social relationships. I just think that that's so smart. I wish more people did it. I think we need to do it better at Top Advisor Marketing. I'm going to have my whole team sit down and listen to this podcast and check out your site and say, hey, guys, how can we do better and use Jay's thought leadership to help our clients more? Because all of us who are trying to become influencers or who are trying to influence, because I think those are two kind of different things in my mind, I want to make sure that I am sharing other people's stuff. I'm connected with some pretty cool people, man. And I don't know. I mean, I share their stuff every once in a while, but I'm probably not to the frequency that I should. And I don't want to be the guy who's always yelling at people. Hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm not that guy. I want to be the guy that people come to, just like you're talking about, who want to check out my post because I'm going to bring something of value. So this is eye-opening, brother. This was great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm happy to come back anytime.
Fantastic. Well, if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, dear God, if you're going to miss things like this, you're crazy. Hit the subscribe now button below. I know that there are a bunch of you who need to share this with somebody. There's somebody you're thinking about right now who all they're doing is talking at people. They're not sharing good information to attract people to them. Please make sure you click that share now button below. Share this on your social media. Share this personally and professionally with your friends, family, and neighbors, because this was a Golden Nugget podcast. Jay Apalter, thank you so much again for being on the show. Please check out Jay's website, which we will make sure is in the show notes, which is jaypalter.ca. Make sure you go there and take a look at some of the information he has. And of course, follow him on social media. So for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing and for Jay Apalter, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.